Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, as you're turning there, we've talked many times about how one way that we can get through hard times is to recognize who we are in Jesus Christ. So, what keeps us from growing weary? What keeps us from quitting and giving up is what we possess in Him, our Savior. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had plenty of reasons to be discouraged, but rather than complain about it, we're pretty good at that, aren't we, sometimes? Rather than complain about it, he focused on what he did have in Christ, and he gave us that same advice through the Holy Spirit's leading that we can read in the Word of God. So that's part of what we'll be discussing today. And but we'll see how he gets to that thought in our text, starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our goals be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the goodness of them which glorious gospel, sorry, of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see here Paul's opening statement where he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. This is in the context of what we've talked about for the last few weeks. And this means what he's saying here is this type of ministry. This type of ministry. Well, what kind is that? Well, we learned that it was a glorious ministry. It wasn't the ministry of the law, but rather the ministry based out of grace. It is one that brings life. It is a ministry that brings salvation and righteousness. It is a ministry that is able to transform lives. Why? Because it is the truth of God's grace that is being preached through that ministry. Now, you and I cannot bring these things. We cannot bring life, but we bring the message of life. We bring the message of righteousness. We bring the truth of the Word of God, and it is by that truth and that understanding that a person can transform their lives if they listen to the Holy Spirit of God in His leading. You know, I wish I could just read the Word of God and immediately I just became the righteous man that I'm supposed to become simply by reading it. But I have to apply what I read to my life. And I have to be obedient to God every day. And we can only do that in His strength. But you know, we would never have known about this wonderful truth, this ability to overcome sin, this opportunity for salvation. We would never know it if the Word of God was not here for us, if the ministry of the Holy Spirit was not there, if God did not place men and women in our lives to share those truths with us. This is why it is so special and why it is so glorious. And this is what Paul is bringing up. Because you have this, because you have this truth, this wonderful message, there is no need to be deceitful or dishonest. And we talked about that a little bit last time. We see that he brings this up. This ministry that you and I have, not just me, but as believers, this ministry we have is a gift. It's a privilege. It is a privilege to be used by God to help mankind in some way. You know, we should be standing up straight in front of our Savior and saluting, saying it is an honor to serve. It is an honor to serve. Wow. To be desired by God to be used, as we learned last time, in these broken vessels. And it's given to us because of God's mercy, we see, not because of anything that we have done, not because we're great, not because we speak well or have a good social standing. But it is a gift to every person. Everyone here in this church today, no matter what age you are or where you come from, no matter what is going on in your life, if you are saved today, you have been gifted with this ministry, the same ministry that he gifted the Apostle Paul with. But don't let that scare you, because it's a privilege and it's a gift. It's something awesome. How many of you like it when you have the ability to share something with somebody else? You like that. Now, sometimes we can't always do that, right? But sometimes we have an overabundance, and we can share that. How many of us, you know, usually, if you go to dinner, if Tim and Heidi invite us over for dinner, we typically ask, what can I bring? Right? Because I want to share in the feast, you know. Plus, I want to make sure there's enough food for me there. So, you know, we want to share. We like to do that. We like to help other people. The sharing of the gospel is much more precious. And we don't have to be invited to do it. We can go to them. And we can tell them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. To keep the mindset of what Paul thinks about this ministry, keep your finger where you're at, but let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And remember, Paul, as he is writing to Timothy, he's trying to train Timothy in his ministry. Being a pastor and selecting of elders, and he had a lot of responsibilities to do. And so keep this in mind. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And then he looks at himself. He's thankful to God for putting him into the ministry, counting him faithful, even though we see these traits he had. In verse 13, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and on belief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul did not feel worthy to be in the ministry, to have the responsibility, even to share the gospel. And sometimes we fall into that same category. We don't feel worthy enough, smart enough. We've had a bad past. We've done things that have been wrong, that we can't make right. But the awesome thing about Jesus Christ is those wrong things were forgiven at the cross of Calvary. So notice I didn't say he makes them right. They're still wrong. But he makes right righteousness. And he places that upon us, even though we have failed. He still wants to use us. Think about a kid that's always, maybe plays baseball and he's always benched because he's really no good, you know, feels he's not. And then one day the coach like, hey, you're going in there, you know. And those emotions that might go on in that mind, like, ugh, I'm not sure I'm going to do well, but I'm happy to go in, and you know, and all these things. And as Christians, sometimes we have these roller coasters of emotions when it comes to serving God. But you see, we need to understand that God has enabled us. When we trusted Christ and he saved us for a reason. Yes, it was to spend eternity with him. That's awesome. That's great. But he wants to use us here and now so that other people can spend eternity with him. That is why in 1 Timothy, the passage we just read, where he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God is never going to ask you to do anything that you don't have the ability to do. And the reason I say that is because it's not just you. You know, as humans, we have this trait to put a lot on our own shoulders. And maybe that's why sometimes we feel like we can't accomplish everything. It's because we've seen ourselves fail in the past. But remember, God enables. So even in those moments you think you can't do it in your own strength, which is probably true, we can accomplish it with God's help. He is giving you something to do because he knows you can accomplish it through his power. Through his power, he knows that. He knows that he lives inside of you and he's there guiding you with his Holy Spirit, and he can lift you up when you fall down. He also knows the beginning from the end. And so if God's asking us to do something, we must be faithful, step out in faith, and wait to just see awesome things happen. But you see, we don't walk in faith. Because maybe we've tried before, and it didn't work out like we thought it should, and so we don't want to try again. Friends, if God's asking you, you do it. You step out in faith. And he will give you the strength to do it. He will. This is a type of ministry we have. This is a type of ministry Paul is talking about. A ministry that is blessed with mercy and grace and power from the Almighty. And it is a ministry that is true, a ministry that is pure, that can be shared without any need for distortion or deceit. We all have this ministry if we're saved here today. The way you look at your ministry helps to determine how you will fulfill it. If you look at serving Christ as a burden instead of a privilege, you will do the bare minimum. And the church today is full of this. People who step out and they do things out of obligation, or they feel it's an obligation. It's just maybe the way they're wired, or maybe the church has placed that obligation upon that individual. It happens in all churches in some form. We try to not do that here, but sometimes it can happen. You don't want it to happen. But if you've ever served the Lord, there's probably been a point in your life where you felt overwhelmed, where you feel like you're the one doing it all, or that it's some sort of burden. Usually the issue is not the activity or the ministry itself or the time that it takes. And you're not going to want to hear this, but it's true. Usually the problem is you. Usually the problem is me. In those moments where it feels like it's a burden. Because you see, when I'm stepping out in the will of God, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but when I step out in the will of God, He enables me. When I know I'm abiding in Him, He gives me strength. And I feel an excitement towards whatever ministry I'm doing for Him. And I can't wait to do it because I'm waiting to see how God is going to work in the individuals that I'm ministering to. Because that's awesome. When you witness God working in a person's life, maybe they trust Christ, maybe they want to start doing more for the Lord, or they're tearing down strongholds somewhere in their life. I love seeing that. Don't you love seeing that? But sometimes we are burdened. But it's because our mind is not in the right place, or we are doing something that is outside the will of God. It might be a good thing, but it might not be what God wants you to be doing. He might want you to do something else, or someone else to do your job. We have to pray about these things. So if you look at serving Christ as a privilege, you're looking to see what God's going to do. If you're doing it out of a burden, you're not going to give it your all. And you're not going to have much faith when you're doing it. Some people even look at service as a punishment from God. Why, Lord, do I have to do this? But when Paul considered the fact that he was a minister of Jesus Christ, rather than being overwhelmed by the ministry itself and how hard it might be, he rather was overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy of God in the midst of the ministry. His positive attitude toward the ministry, that affected him. And he had some consequences from this. And one of them was, as we see, he's not a quitter. It builds him up. He doesn't. Why would you want to quit at something you're being successful at in your mind? You know you're doing what's right. Now, Paul, did every person Paul went to trust Christ? No. Did every church that he helped plant and found and select elders and all these things, did they always do the right thing and do what they were told? No, they didn't. But Paul knew he was walking in the steps that God wanted him to walk in. And he wasn't going to quit because he didn't deserve to be in this ministry. But God still chose him for that ministry. None of us deserve. I don't deserve to be a pastor. I'm unworthy of this calling. But God has chosen to place me here. It helps us not quit when we look at it as a privilege and an opportunity to serve. And when we realize our personal calling is divine, we should recognize, as stated earlier, we get a divine enabling. If it's God that's doing the calling, it is also God that is supplying the tools for the job. Now, where I work, I have to buy my own steel-toed shoes. No, I don't. I get $60 towards them. That's right. I do. I was just going to use that as an example. How can I complain about my job? Hold on a second. All right. You know, some places you have to, I've heard of places you have to buy your own tools. You have to buy all this stuff, right? And I have, so you have to enable yourself for the workplace. Well, God, He enables us. He called us, and He gives us the tools necessary to fulfill it. And if we know that, then that should turn us around in our thinking. Knowing this also helps us from turning into an individual that is deceitful in the ways of the Lord. It really does. It helps us a lot. We don't have to distort anything. If you turn back to our original passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, hopefully you kept your finger there, and look at verse 2. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, Paul, he is alluding to the difference between him and false teachers, and specifically the Judaizers. So he's drawing a comparison here, because this is his whole conversation in this early portion of this book here. Is, remember, the Judaizers were trying to add the law to God's grace, and they were trying to mix those all together, and they can't be. They're two separate things, right? And so he's mentioning this. I don't have to come to you and distort the gospel in any way. I don't have to lie to you to make you trust Christ. I don't have to make something up to make the message better than what it already is. And I don't have to do or say something that makes you feel better about trusting Christ. Some sort of egging on or saying, well, you know, give you something fake to do so it makes you feel better. I don't have to give you a placebo to make you feel better. I'm just going to give you the truth, the actual medicine that fixes this problem I have. There's nothing more to add to it. I don't have to add sugar to it for you to swallow the pill or the fluid, the medicine. Many false teachers today claim to base their doctrine on the Word of God, but they handle the Word of God in a very deceptive way. This happens all the time. is a person has an opinion or they have a point they want to get across, and so they'll search for a verse that sounds like it might fit, and they pull it out of context and they say, you know, here you go. This happens all the time in devotionals. It doesn't matter, I'm not going to name any devotionals or anything, but if you have like a devotional, and you'll come across this sometimes, you open it up and they'll give you a verse, and then you'll read, you know, like a little story or something that goes along with the verse, and there's like a topic, you know, that is within that. You'll notice sometimes, not a lot, but sometimes you'll notice, wait a second, you go back and you read that verse in the actual context in the Word of God, and you're like, that is not at all what this verse is saying, but they used it because it had this word that's in it. It has nothing to do with. Well, that is deceitfulness or complete ignorance by the person who wrote it, trying to get a point across. But we should care about truth. And the gospel is true. What Paul was teaching, not only the gospel, but his entire doctrine, his theology that he had, it was truth. Every aspect of it, he knew the truth. We know he was taught by Jesus himself. It was truth. And so when people come in and they try to distort and change it, this bothers him, especially if he sees one of the churches that he mentored and he founded, people trusted Christ there, they were starting to be led astray. Now notice that Paul, and this happens in pretty much every case in Paul's writings, you'll find that he is writing to a church or a person, but these people are already saved. Individuals. So when he writes to a person who is already saved, and he says to them, I don't want you to be confused on the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is not so that they can maintain their salvation somehow. It's so that they can enjoy their salvation. That's why he writes them. He wants them to enjoy what they already have in Jesus Christ. And when a false teacher comes in, they rob the Christian of their joy. And if there happens to be an unbeliever that comes into the mix, they get a false gospel. But who he's writing to, usually it's believers. But he says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Wow, who, you know, we think about that. Who would do that? But it happens all the time. I remember one time I was sharing Christ with an individual over the phone, and I asked him to go get a Bible. And he was in the military, and the only Bible he could find was the first one was the Catholic Bible. I don't know anything about Catholic Bibles or whatever, but whatever he had, might have just been readings or whatever, but whatever he had, it ended at Acts, whatever he had. I don't know what it was. Okay, so I was trying to have him go to the book of Romans and these other passages of Scripture, and he couldn't because it wasn't in what he had. It was gone. And so then I would say, well, you were in the military, right? Yeah, were you ever given one of those little New Testaments? And yeah, so we went through it that way, and he trusted Christ. But sometimes that reminded me of there are Scriptures. I'm really not trying to destroy another denomination or anything like that, but this does bother me and it saddens me. You know, if you go to the book of Timothy, there are things that are black and white. Well, let's just think about there's one mediator between God and man. But yet there are churches out there that preach you can pray through Mary or through the apostles or even through loved ones. who have gone on before us. And so you end up praying to Grandpa, in my case, Grandpa Mike, or someone like that, to answer a prayer. I can't do that. The Bible is very clear. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, right? Or abstaining from meats, things like that. The Bible says beware of that, actually, in the book of Timothy. Though that's considered a false teacher, a person who says abstain from meat. So even though it's like, and the first thing comes to mind is you're abstaining from meat on Friday or whatever, right? You've heard that before. Well, actually, the Word of God says beware of that. And what I'm getting at here is there are things that are black and white in Scripture that people either ignore, never teach on, or, you know, completely leave it out or twist in some way to fit their religious beliefs of a church. That's sad. That's sad when that happens. Paul's saying there's no need for this. We have the Word of God. We have this ministry. We have the gospel. There's nothing to distort. Adding works to the gospel is a distortion of the gospel. And this should hold true in every area of our doctrine. The question is, if Paul was such a faithful teacher of the Word, then why did not more people believe this message? Why were the false teachers so successful at winning converts to what they believed? Well, we learn in our text because the mind of the lost sinner, or even the confused saint, if you will, we can be blinded by Satan. Now, in the context of our scripture, we have Judaizers going out, sharing Christ, but also adding the works of the law to a Jewish nation and Gentiles too. And they're going out and they're sharing this. So you have lost people that are starting to follow after this group. Okay, so in the context of our scripture, they're the lost is what's happening. Paul sees this. He warns the Corinthians about it. Why is this taking place? Well, one reason is when you have the two messages, I'm preaching the truth here, this person is preaching something that's false, you have an unbeliever, they're going to fall into the Judaizer camp quicker. Why? Because it's based more on human nature. A human tendency. And we see here that Satan, the god of this world, that's who it's talking about, has blinded their minds to the truth. Unless the light of Christ shines upon them. Okay? But the problem is you have the light of Christ, the placebo light of Christ in the Judaizers shining on them the same time, you see. They're going to say, oh, Jesus Christ, he said Jesus Christ too. So did the Judaizers. They said it's through him, through his death on the cross. And he rose again. They're saying this message. But they're also saying to do some of the things that I'm already doing as a Jew. That sounds right to me. That sounds like something that God would want me to do, is to keep doing these things that I'm doing. So it's easier for them to go over towards the Judaizer camp. And Paul is concerned with this, and the same thing happens today, our human nature. I'm going to go to the church that has the biggest drum set. You know? Now hold on a second. Do you want the truth of God or do you want a concert? You guys know I have nothing wrong with drum sets. I love music. Okay? But what I'm saying is, if that's the heart of the person, is you don't draw people in with the wrong intent. And you should look at the Word of God as something that is pure, something that is holy. In our lives, we should want to do everything we can to please Him. And one area that we can please Him is understand the purity of the gospel and how important this ministry is. Remember, our message is true. It's right. It's backed by the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit convicts a person and draws. With those things working together, we should go out in confidence, knowing that the only thing that can overpower, according to our text in the Word of God, the only thing that can overpower Satan's trick, the blinding of the eyes of mankind, is the light of the gospel. That's the only thing that can shine through that darkness. And we must be confident and continue to share it. That's why as a church, a body, as believers, we shouldn't go out with the intent to change people's behavior. We go out with the intent to get them saved. And then God works within them. Oh, you can come to church if you dress this way. You see where I'm going with that? You can, you know, come to church once you're saved. People get a little more, they get too technical. There are churches that truly believe that non-believers really shouldn't even come in. Now, there's some truth to this, and then there's some false thinking here. Okay? The church, when we come to worship and read the Word of God and sing and worship Him, that is for believers. It is. You can't deny that. How can you worship God in whom you have no relationship with? Right? How can you start doing what God wants in your daily life? Say the pastor's up here and he's preaching about how you should live your life in a holy way. Without Jesus Christ, you can't. You might be able to do good things and good works, but the Bible says those works are as filthy rags. You can't do it. It might be good in the world's eyes and in your own eyes, but it's worth nothing in God's eyes. You have to be saved. So there is some truth to that, that the church is for people who are already saved. But then there's the other side of that. Let's be realistic here. When people are hurting, where do they go? Yeah. Where do they go for advice and they go for help and for a sense of belonging? Friends, that's the Holy Spirit grabbing hold of that person and leading them in the direction of a church body. And it's up to us to share the gospel with them, to show them love and support. It is not a place where I say, well, whoa, hey, don't let that person in. You know, they have sin in their life. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? No. Let's train. Let's teach. Let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Judaizers, it was a form of legalism. We want to live holy lives. We want to do what's right. But we do it because of we recognize God's grace and mercy and His calling upon our life, something we don't deserve. And so therefore, we act out in love for what Christ has done for us. The Judaizers enjoyed preaching about themselves, their glorying in their achievements. That was the opposite of Paul. He gloried in the Lord. We're not going to be able to get into the second portion of this message today, but is to place our faith, you know, think about this as we close today. The Apostle Paul, he may have sometimes seemed prideful on the surface, but when you take a closer look, you find him a very humble man. And this is one of those areas where we see this. And one thing that can help us in this department personally is to not place too much trust in ourselves. We can't go around thinking that we have arrived at some sort of spiritual place where we are safe from anything or anything that is evil. We are dependent upon God. Those who fall in line with the Judaizers' way of thinking, adding works to grace, They're not showing their dependence on God. They're showing dependence on themselves. And the object of their faith is not Christ, but themselves. We need to remember who we are and who He is. So Paul did not trust himself, we see in our text. He did not commend himself, we see that there. He did not preach himself. He endeavored to lead people to Jesus Christ to get them saved or to build them up in their faith. And he did not want to take advantage of weak people, like some of the false teachers did. I like this comment in regards to our text, and we'll close with this. What happens when you share Jesus Christ with lost sinners? The light begins to shine. Paul compared conversion to creation as described in Genesis 1:3. Like the earth, the lost sinner is formless and empty. But when he trusts Christ, he becomes a new creation. God then begins to form and to fill the life of the person who trusts Christ. And he begins, as he abides in Christ, to be fruitful for the Lord. So when God shines his light, this is what we're looking forward to when we share the gospel. We want to see a person trust Christ and get saved. But we also want to see them grow in their faith. And that's why it's important that we disciple new believers, that we take the time to get involved in their life and teach them from the Word of God. I mean, it's great that they're saved, but hopefully that's not the last time you talk to that person. Sometimes it is. You're some stranger in a faraway land or in an airport or something. But most of the time, it's people we see on a regular basis. And we need to take the point to teach them how to live godly lives. And we do it out of love and by example. Not out of a judging attitude or some sort of a feeling of legalism, like they have to live up to these standards. But rather, we want them to grow so that they can experience the joy of Jesus Christ. That's what we want in a believer's life. So we have a ministry, and it is a glorious ministry. And we have nothing to hide. We have everything to share, and without distortion. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we have truth before us in the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to serve you, to share the gospel with this lost world. And Lord, I pray for those in the church that are confused, that add works to the gospel, and Lord, have taken their eyes off of you. Lord, you're not the preeminence in their minds, but rather an afterthought. And I pray, Lord, that the churches that are out there today, I don't care, Lord, what the denomination is, but they would come to the realization of the truth of the Word of God, that we would all, including myself, humble ourselves. And when truth is taught, may our eyes not be blinded. May we recognize the truth, and may we learn from it and change according to your will. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.